for our time together this weekend. By the way, thank you for singing. Sound like a monkey. No, but I say that jokingly, but seriously, someone appreciates it. It is nice to hear the same word. Thank you for that. Alright, so we began our study last evening on the theme of knowing God. And we're going to do alright, we're going to do about a 2 minutes of what we looked at last evening. So we were thinking of God through this He saved gift. And so we looked at several things from the Word of God, the Holy God, not many, just the living God, true God. God, one God who exists in three persons. And then we looked at how this God revealed Himself to man. He desires to be known. So He has done that in all the ways which we have the creation, the nature of man himself, created in the image of God. Of course, that's part of all through high as new creations really have the ability to reveal God because He dwells within us. Direct revelation of man, particularly in the Old Testament, beginning of the New Testament, God's experiences in His own people through His word and through the Lord Jesus. Then we looked at several attributes. I specifically chose these attributes that we call non-communicable. We don't possess these as mere words. Only God. Therefore, we tend not to think about them because they're way over our heads. We have to realize we can't fully understand these things, but if you look at that item, these are some practical points and things that we can look at. So, just help in this student. We look at two great verses with regards to knowing God, Jeremiah 9:23 and 24. Not the glory of our wisdom, our might, our riches, but let him who glory in this thing, knows, he understands, and knows me. And what a tremendous verse that is. And the Lord Jesus himself, he defined eternal life with us, that we may know God in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That is eternal life. Then we laid out where we're headed this weekend. We looked at God through His Word last evening, and this morning we want to look at knowing God through His names. So that's where we're going to go this morning. Knowing God through His name. Now, I know how many of you have ever done a study of the names of God. One of the difficulty when you preach, you don't know where people are. But just very briefly, there are three primary names of God that we have in the Bible. First is Elohim, or El, and that is recorded in English and translated in English as God. Capital G, small G, over 2,600 times. It simply means mighty, strong, powerful above all. Simple way to think about that. Secondly is the name Yahweh or Jehovah. And in our English Bibles, that's translated Lord in all caps. Translators have done that, at least in King James, New King James, translations like that. So how far they move on the new translation. But very important, of course, the name of God over 6,500 times in the Old Testament, Lord. And as we mentioned last night, he is the self-existing One. He needs no one else. And yet, it's also a term that is used for the covenant-making God, who wants to make covenant relationship with you and I as human beings. Then a third name of God is Adonai, also translated the word by small case letters, capital L and small case letters, over 400 times. Simply means someone superior or a master, sometimes translated that way. Now, for our study this morning, we want to think about two compound words. So here's a list of some of the compound names of God. Our purpose this morning isn't to go over these as an overview. But we're going to look at the last two, or the last one of those groups. A compound name with El Shaddai, and a compound name of Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. So let's begin this morning by looking at the name of God that is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. Peace. You know, the world talks much about peace. There's always talk about peace. Nations talk about peace. Someone has come up with these statistics. I don't know where this statistic comes from, but it says in the last 3,600 years of history, the history of mankind, there have been about 14,351 wars. Only 292 years of peace. In that time, there has been an estimated 3.64 billion people killed. Over 8,000 peace treaties made and broken. Now, again, I don't know if people file such treaties. But the point is, there's been a lot of efforts to peace. There's also been a lot of wars. There's been a lot of death. Man can't seem to find peace. John Lennon once wrote a song, "All we are saying is give peace a chance." And another song that he wrote, I was going to feel free to there is a room, but John Lennon also wrote a song, "Imagine." Imagine all the people living in peace. We say that I'm a dreamer, that I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us in the world to live. Isn't it ironic that man wrote the words and gone down by violence a few hundred years ago? And then Jimi Hendrix. Jimi Hendrix made a statement one time, "In the power of love overcomes the love of power." Love of power, the world will have peace. Let me say that again. "And the power of love overcomes the love of power, the world will have peace." That's actually a pretty good statement. Has some truth to it. Ted Koppel said this: "There's harmony and inner peace to be found in following a moral compass that points in the same direction regardless of fashion or trend." Again, if you put those words in biblical context, what he meant by it. In fact, what did these people mean by peace? Well, what was their understanding of peace? But peace is certainly something that this world yearns for. I mean, the human heart yearns for peace. And we'll see what that says about the biblical perspective. So this name of God, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace, is only found one time in the Bible. It's in Judges chapter 6, verses 23 and 24. If you have 28 and 10, those verse of interest we have here on the slide. But you remember in the book of Judges, it's a book of a cycle of the nation of Israel sinning, going against the Lord. And the Lord, the people then would cry out to the Lord, "The Lord prays, I'll be judged." And then God would begin and establish help to them. So in chapter 6 of the book of Judges, it's Gideon's time to be that judge. And of course, Gideon was reluctant at first. He says, "Oh my Lord, how can I save Israel?" Verse 15. "Indeed, my clan is the weakest of the nations, and I am the least of my father's house.
So we want to sign from the Lord. If you're really in this, you're really going to show it. I'm going to help you to be this person, this judge. Give me this sign. And so it says here, do not depart from here, verse 18, I pray until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you. He said, I will wait until you come back. So Gideon went in and prepared himself a goat and unleavened bread on a crop of flour. The meat put in a basket and he put the cloth in a pot and brought it out to him underneath the terebinth tree and presented to them. The angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on the crop and pour out the cloth. And he did so. And the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat. And the unleavened bread, the fire arose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. And the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. It brought fear, it brought concern, it brought angst to Gideon. And verse 23 and verse 24 that we have on the slide. Then the Lord said to him, peace be with you. Do not fear, for you shall not die. So Gideon held an altar there to the Lord and called him, the Lord is peace, or Jehovah Shalom. Interesting that in this time of Israel's history, one of the most troubling times of their history, the most restless, the most wicked, the most anarchical, the most rebellious time in their history, the time when this name was God. The God who is peace, the God who gives peace. And even in Gideon's own personal life, at this time, he was concerned, he was anxious. The nation around him was disarray. He needed the peace of God as well. Mm-hmm. It was interesting. The book of Judges found a particular man to whom this was given. And this is true of all the names of God. If you haven't studied them, fascinating to study to see where the name first appears, see what the background is, and how that name then is used. But even the Evangelical Dictionary of Theology has some things here concerning this word shalom. It comes from a Hebrew word, which means to be complete or sound, wholeness of body or life, a right relationship or quantity between two parties or people, the absence of war or strife, prosperity, success, fulfillment. Then he sums up by saying this, expresses the deepest desire and need of the human heart. It represents the greatest measure of contentment and satisfaction of life. Now I put all that up there and simply say this, that this word peace, shalom, is a very, very deep and meaningful word. And it was used as a Greek, and still is it today. They greet one another, shalom. They're not only greeting one another, but they are wishing these things upon one another. We greet each other, say hi. No, not very deep. This is a very meaningful word. This idea of peace, even though this title or this name for God, Jehovah Shalom, you can find one place in the scriptures, the concept of peace and the theme of the peace of God, and God has a God of peace, is throughout. So an extremely, extremely important word from God's perspective. In fact, I was going to read several verses here where it is God's desire that we would know peace, understand the peace of God, understand in our beings what we just read there, that would be us, and we would experience that. God wants that. Job 22:21. Now acquaint yourself with Him, that is God, and be at peace. Interesting. That actually
king of Eliphaz, Job, says to Satan out of acquaint yourself with God. Come to know relational, experiential, and be at peace. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you a future and a hope. Again, when was this written? Not even understanding or realizing what the future would be until the prophet could heal. And God said, I'm going to be I have thoughts of peace, a future, a hope, in the midst of their disobedience and struggling at the peace at that time. Isaiah 26, verse 3, he will keep them in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, fixed on you, because he trusts in you. We're coming to the New Testament, Luke 1. The day spring from on high has visited us to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way of peace. Jesus Christ came into this world to establish peace with man through the gospel. Romans 15:33, I am the God of peace. Be with you all. And Ephesians 6:15, the gospel itself is called the gospel of peace. Just a handful of verses, we can look at many, many more that tell us what this peace is all about. So how is this expressed? This idea of peace, peace of God. Let's look at four ways, very briefly, how this is expressed and how we can experience this peace in our own lives as individuals. Number one, peace with God. Peace with God. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now this is a positional. This is the wayward, sinful man who is out of harmony with God, who is brought into harmony with God, and brought into a peaceful state with God through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have the verse Colossians chapter 1, verses 20 to 22 there, where we read this, starting verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him all things should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of the cross. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has peace. Every one of us are this morning. We know Christ is our Savior. This was all. In our unsaved state, in our natural state, we were enemies of God. We were alienated from God. We needed to be reconciled to God. We needed to be peace established with God. And that has happened through the blood of God and through faith that we show through our Lord. But again, this is position. The moment we trust in Christ as our Savior, His peace is established. And it's an everlasting peace. It's eternal peace. It is the judge for the sinner. And it will never change. Why? Because of what we looked at last night. Because God does not change. You see how these attributes of these great and the credit can be lost. They will never change. Therefore, we have and has peace established with God that will never, ever go away. Now, the peace we have or won't have, subject to peace day by day, as we will continue to look at it in a moment. It's interesting, Duke University did a study one time on how to achieve peace of mind. How can you have peace of mind? Just think about that. A bunch of unbelieving people trying to come up with ways that we can have peace of all. That's all that's true. Anyhow, they have a lot of steam listed, but one of the things that they list at the end of this study is that this needs to occur outside of oneself. Finding something bigger than yourself to believe in. Self-centered, egotistical people score the lowest in any test for that. We have that defined as a portion of our world without saying so something bigger than yourself, and put that in a meaningful context, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about religion. We're talking about fun. We're talking about real peace. Where to find it, how to do it, and what it means for us. There's a story told also of a lady, she was a mother actually. You remember the horrible shootings in Aurora, Colorado, some years ago, a movie theater. So this lady had two daughters. She's not a movie going person, because I prefer to watch the film. But the daughters were begging her to go. It was the last of the chronology of the Batman movie series. Anyhow, she didn't really want to go either. The daughters kept talking to her husband, so she went. So we went there that evening. And of course, the man in there was a gun. The shooting breaks out. Once they understood and realized what was happening, they hit the floor. But this is what she said. She said it was a bit surreal, but I do know that seemingly at the shooting started, as my girls were struggling from whatever gas and chemical had been released to them, we figured out what was happening. We hit the floor, she threw herself over her daughters. But she said this, in that moment, as the rapid fire shots continued, I truly thought I was going to die. But I really, I was going to die. Bullets flying all over the place. Chaotic scene. She's on the floor on top of her children, and she's thinking, I'm a kid. And I'm ready to go. And even one of her daughters said to her, she says, if anything, both of my girls said it made him, that is God, a much more real experience to them. And they share the verse, not be afraid of sudden fear, but one spot of the wicked let come, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your strength from being there. Going through an experience like that, yet they had peace. The peace with God is what they were thinking about in that chaotic scene. Again, positional truth never changed. I wonder about the peace of them. This is subject. This is more internal. So this wavers us. Depending if we're trusting the Lord or we're not trusting the Lord. Looking to the Lord or we're not looking to the Lord. Are we just looking at circumstances? Are we just looking horizontally? We won't have the peace of God in the circumstances of life. Our Lord Jesus said these words in John chapter 14 and verse 27 as he had those disciples gathered in the upper room. And he says to them, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Now listen, not as the world. The world gives a false peace. The world gives a temporary peace. The world gives a peace that isn't peace with God, that you and I have access to. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives to you, I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be. And he says at the end of chapter 16 of the Gospel of John, verse 33, these things, I'm assuming he put all these things up and saying to you, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace.
He's not talking here about peace with God. He's talking about a peace on a daily, momentary basis. In the midst of a chaotic world, because he says, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And we have these great verses from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, that whole composition is here, the peace of God. I love the way this is stated. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding. We might think sometimes, how could this person have peace in this situation? How could suffering and the trials of life that we were about to see, how can there be a state of peace? Because it does not understand. It doesn't come from our rational. It comes supernaturally from God. It is the Shema, the Hover Shema. God is peace. God gives us peace, and we do what we're told to. Be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. That's the two areas of our being. And so we tie together the heart and mind. God says, let me control both of you in your worst. Your worst case scenario in life. Let me help. Let me keep your Ahova Shalom at this point. And God is for you. So peace with God, positional. Peace of God, experimental. Service. Peace with one another. I'm going to take a lot of time with this. But God wants us to have harmonious relationships, particularly in the body of Christ. One with another. We need to be at peace with one another. Are you a peacemaker? Am I a peacemaker? You know, sometimes we butt heads. We all agree. We get angry at each other. But God would have us to have peace one with another. He broke down a wall of partition between the Jew and the Gentile. You and I will be. Through the power of God, through the Spirit of God. God, as the Holy Shalom, wants his people to operate in peace. Also, in our first chapter, God. And then, fourth area, when we think about the peace that God wants to provide, is now on a more national or world. Again, this is world in peril. God even said that we feel peace in the world. And there's a lot of victims. Whether it's between, you know, societies, gangs, and cities, or nationally, or internationally. This world yearns for peace, and we won't take the time to get into it. You know these verses, right? Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. He will, the government be upon the shoulder of the Prince of Peace. And he will bring peace to us. We say sometimes about praying for the peace of Jerusalem. Well, we're going to pray for the coming of the Lord. So he has peace before the Lord comes. We remember, but not last. God promises lasting peace in the world. When the Prince of is ruled as a king of heaven. Then there will be peace that God has not. But it is a peace that is part of the whole concept of peace that God wants. I'm sure you've heard the story, but at one time somebody wanted to find a picture that demonstrated peace. We had a lot of pictures and we got to do the file. And one of the pictures was a picture like this.
serene body of waters or maybe like this. And we see something like that and we kind of treat things to us that we have to do any kind of project or any kind of problem. But then there was one picture left. The guy uncovered the picture and people gasped. Because this is what it's a waterfall. And then water just gushing, and there was a storm coming, and the whole sea looked ominous. And again, the idea was to find a picture that demonstrated peace, and people are saying, how can you have peace with a picture like that? And you probably can't see it where you're sitting, but I circled that over there. We're very nasty, and it left me. And that was the experience of peace. Amidst the chaos around it. So, when we talk about peace, maybe it is that sea of protection, and nothing is seemingly going wrong. But more often than that, we need the peace of God working in our hearts and our lives in chaos. When things are not going well, when there's all kinds of problems and issues that we face. We sing a song sometimes, a beautiful song, the short song, peace, perfect peace. In this dark world of sin, probably can't reflect the blood of Jesus, whispers peace within. Peace, perfect peace, by longing duties pressed to do the will of Jesus, this is rest. Peace, perfect peace, death shadowing us and ours, what can unnerve us? What in death? Jesus, a banquet, peace, perfect peace, our future all unknown. Jesus we know, and he is on the ground. It is enough, rich troubles soon shall cease. And Jesus called to heaven, lift peace. Beautiful, beautiful. For peace, Jehovah Shalom. God wants us to experience that. Not only by being saved and establishing this positional act, but he wants to bring peace to our earthly lives. Let's look at the second term, time we have to make. El Shaddai, the other name for God. El, powerful one, mighty one, but it's connected to the word Shaddai. Now, in this prayer, the meaning of this word, Shaddai, by the way, occurs 48 times in the Old Testament, that is the term Shaddai. 7 times, points to the word El Shaddai. What does this word mean, Shaddai? There's some difference in it, but it seems that it's going together to name a beautiful woman, Shaddai. Literally, something that's raised up on the plains. You have this flat surface and something is raised up. So that could be like a mountain. Commentators, scholars tell us. Like a mountain, a symbol of strength. And certainly, God needs that. El Shaddai, God is powerful. But equally, that aspect of power is really comes from the word El, the mighty one. Why the word Shaddai? Why would you have to use it? Well, the word also means that it's idea of something rising up from it and be likened to the rest of the woman. Which knows that is satisfied and is sufficient. Again, the picture of a nursing woman satisfied that little child, bringing nurture. So the idea here that we come down to the all powerful and all sufficient God. So this word sufficient is equal. It's not that God is just all powerful, it is that he was also sufficient. And we can think of these other quotations or maybe the sufficiency of God. This is what I want us to think about. In this term, El Shaddai, he is sufficient. He is adequate. He is enough. He nourished me. He supplied. He is able. Can God help us in this part of life? Can help should God be a portion of our life? Is he a portion of our lives? Do we understand who God is by this name? El Shaddai. Do we know him as El Shaddai? Interesting, in Exodus chapter 6, verse 3, we read this. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by the name of Jehovah was I not known to them. That name really came to be from Exodus 43. He became Jehovah. He became this covenant-making God. Before that, the fathers, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, they knew God as this Shaddai. This, yes, all-powerful one, but this one who was sufficient for their needs. You turn to Genesis chapter 17. If you want to, or look at this first verse in Genesis. But this is the first occurrence we have in the Old Testament of this term, El Shaddai, is with Abraham. Notice Genesis 16 and verse 16, the last verse of chapter 16. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. Chapter 17, verse 1, Abram was 99 years old. And we just opened one verse to the other, 13 years old. And this man still doesn't have the promise. Yes, he has permission to Hagar. That wasn't God's plan. God promised the son. And God is still promising the son. It's been 25 years. What have you waited for 25 years? What have you asked God for 25 years? What have I asked God for 25 years and still not see it? It's difficult. And this man, he thought he's not having descendants like the sand in the sea and the stars of heaven. And he doesn't have one child yet. So what happens? Genesis 17, verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, he doesn't just say, walk one day. He said, Abram, you know I am. I'm God. I am El Shaddai. But what did we just learn? Is he all powerful? Yes. Is that all he's trying to communicate to Abram? That I'm all powerful God? And he was warning. He's saying, Abram, I am all powerful. I am also all sufficient. I am enough. I can satisfy. You don't have a child yet. I have promised you a child. That child is coming. Because I help you. And I will see that that comes to pass. Again, I just think it's amazing to look at the background where this name comes. What is happening? What is this man going through? And God says, know me. Know me as El Shaddai. Trust me as El Shaddai. Now, of course, we have commentary on this, don't we? In Romans chapter 4, I'm going to read verse 12, but Romans chapter 4 is very interesting. And it gives us a little insight into what he and Abram, or Abram and Sarah, were really thinking that we're not told in the Old Testament. Oh, let's begin Romans chapter 4. Let's just pick up in verse 19. And not being weak in faith, he, that is Abram, did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. I mean, there was no way these two were producing child in their own strength. But their bodies were dead. They recognized, they knew it. Again, how's this promise going to happen? They were in a place of sort of not understanding, and yet, when we read the Romans, look at verse 20. He did not waver at the promise of God who might believe, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Now notice verse 21. Being fully convinced that what he had promised, he also was able. Able to perform. And I want you to grab hold of that